historical things that we can see. And of course, we've got an amazing camp. Thank you, workers. Thanks so much. Thanks, Mark and the team. Thank you, worship team, as well, for leading us. It's been awesome. We're really thankful to God. Well, I want to talk about, we're talking this summer about the undeniable presence and power of God. We're talking about how undeniable he is, how amazing he is, how majestic he is. And we've been talking this week about one of the most famous stories and accounts from the Bible. And it is the story of the flood. Noah, his ark, and the flood. Have you kids enjoyed learning about that this week? Has that been fun? I think it's been a lot of fun, right? And I know when I was a kid, I sure learned a lot there. And as an adult, I'm continually learning more as well. And I really enjoy that. Well, one of the things I asked this week when we were talking about this account is I said, I really want to bring this to life in a way that would be kind of unique. And so there's a lady in our church, a young lady named Larissa. And I'm going to ask Larissa if you come on up. Char, if you give her the microphone. I'm not sure if you've got the wireless, but if she can get the wireless mic from you, that would be awesome. Super. Kids, how many of you have been excited to see your painting when she started painting this week? Did you guys like it? It's pretty amazing, eh? And I said to Larissa, would you put together a painting just about the account of Noah, the flood, the ark, the rainbow, the dove, all that stuff? And you came up with something amazing. So we're going to show it to you tonight. And it's over here. And so I'm going to grab the painting. If I can get Luke, you want to grab that easel for me, please? And just bring it on over. We're going to do the big reveal here. This, I could never do 1/1,000,000th of this well. I suck at art. I'm terrible at it. But I have a huge appreciation for art, and this is what we're going to show you. Look at the painting that Larissa did this week. Come on over here, Larissa. I'm just going to ask you from you standing over there. Is that impressive or what? That looks amazing. And I didn't tell you what to paint. I just said, paint something from that scene, and you sure did a good job. So I wanted to ask you, as you were putting that together, a few questions. The first question was, when you started putting the paints together, did you get any interest from our kids, from the campers? Did anybody take interest in what you were doing?
I had about 3 personal assistants this week during my painting. They were very interested. I even had some of the kids help paint some of the rocks here. And everyone was very, very interested in what this was going to look like. And they were guessing all week what it was of.
So when you brought this painting out, this canvas, you had to do something first. You didn't just go with a, you buy them white, right? So what do you have to do to prep the whole thing first? What do you do?
So I use something called a gesso primer, and that is just, the brand name is gesso. And it's a black primer to put down the base, and it's acrylic primer, and it's kind of chalky, and the paint sticks really well to it.
Okay, so we had a good opportunity just to see it get put together. You remember that guy? What was his name? Bob Ross? Was that the guy's name with the big hair? And he'd always do trees and stuff like that. And I'd be like, wow, Bob Ross knows how to do trees. Well, Bob Ross has nothing on you. I mean, that's a really impressive looking tree. So if you had a title for this, if you were to say, like, if this painting were to go into a gallery and we wanted to put a title on it, I'm not saying you have to officially give it this title from this day forward, but just give me, like, what do you want it to be about? Like, what would you say? What would the title be?
The main word that comes to mind for me, because of the flood and the new growth, is regrowth or rebirth. I think that's probably what I would title it.
Yeah, rebirth. That's I could totally see that. And when we put the elements, which of those elements did you find the most favorite to do of all the things that were on there?
So I really, I was actually kind of stressed about the clouds, because that is very difficult, but this painting happened to work out, and I actually had a lot of fun with these clouds here, because it wasn't a definite form. I was able to be a little bit crazy with my paintbrush, which is always fun.
Yeah. I mean, I actually told you too, I think that, you know, just seeing the light, the way it's shining out from behind the ark, and it's just like, you know, God just like, you know, just giving this earth that has been cleansed from, we're going to learn this evening about why it was cleansed from all the sin and the wickedness that was around it. When I asked you to put up, I didn't ask you to put up trees or rocks or anything like that. You kind of came up with that on yourself. But when it came to the dove, so what does the dove represent to you?
So for me, because the dove is the bird that brought back the olive branch, spoiler alert, to let them know that they could leave the ark, the dove is, and it's so clean looking. It's just such a, it's a new thing. It's a new beginning. It's like the title of the unofficial title is Regrowth or Rebirth. So the dove honestly is the main thing that represents that to me.
that's great. So who are your assistants? Are they here tonight? Any of them here tonight or not?
I believe Bella is here. She helped me out. Jasmine helped me out.
Yeah.
A few other, Halima helped me out. Oh, they were okay. Some, a few of them were painting.
So did you guys enjoy helping her out? Yeah. Does that inspire you to want to learn how to paint? Yeah, I think it does, right? I saw some of you like dabbling, and I saw Yelena try to put it together. I mean, you were doing an amazing butterfly. I can't do that sort of stuff. It's just absolutely phenomenal. So I just wanted to thank you. And Larissa has been so gracious to us. I mean, this is your painting. This is, you know, you did it. And you even put your name at the bottom, Larissa, there. But she's going to donate it to the church. Isn't that phenomenal? So we're going to find a great place to hang that up here in our church body, or in our church building, I should say. And I just want to thank you so much. It was really awesome to see that thing get put together. Yeah. And I was like, I just want to show everybody this on Facebook, but I can't. So anyways, I hope.
Thank you for the opportunity to do a painting this week. That was amazing to show the kids.
Absolutely. Now let's give her a hand. That was awesome. Okay. Great. Thanks, Larissa. This week we've been learning about the Noah account, the account of the flood and Noah and the ark and all that that entails. And you know, there's lots of evidence, of course, for the flood. All you have to do is drill down, dig down into the ground, and you can find lots of evidences of there being a catastrophic flood that's hit the earth. We see lots of shells of former animals that lived in the ocean that are here, and you can see there's all sorts of stuff that happened in the past. We even live in a lake that used to be massive, and then it drained apparently a few thousand years ago. Lake Agassiz, I think is the name of the place, that we would all be underwater a few thousand years ago, all that stuff. That's lots of evidence for God's wonderful work and just amazing power. But you know, there is evidence that you see every single time there is an event up in the sky. Often happens after a storm. And it's one of my favorite things in creation. It's my wife's favorite thing in creation, and it's called the rainbow, right? And the rainbow, we're going to talk about the hope of the rainbow and what that means. But before this beautiful scene, there was a really ugly scene here on earth. And the Bible tells us about that in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 6, tells us that the world was a wicked, evil place. And unfortunately, God had to do something to cleanse the world of that violence and that wickedness. And for those that turn the light on, turn them off, please. Turn on the main house lights. Turn them off, please, because we're going to show another video. This one's an account from our Superbook, by the way. So if you guys want to know, if you're new to our church, we use Superbook, which is our curriculum that we use for Centerpoint Kids. We teach our kids about God's Word, and there's a little creativity there. We got a boy and a girl and a robot. They're from the future, apparently. But they're viewing events that have happened in the biblical account. And one of them is the flood account. So I want to show you what the world was like before the flood. Let's take a look.
Of humankind is great. Everything they think and plan is evil. So I will destroy every living creature on earth. I am sorry I ever made them.
This comes right down from the Bible's account, and how the Bible tells us that every thought of humanity was evil and wicked at that time. And we don't know what that world was exactly like because we weren't there, but the biblical record tells us that God had to do something about it. And God doesn't just stand by forever and let bad people do bad things to other people. God doesn't allow evil to go unchecked forever. God's very patient, he's very kind, he's loving, but God is also a God that's fair and a God that's just. And so God looked at this world and said, I have to start over again, and I have to start with someone who respects me, who follows me, who loves me. And the Bible says that he looked across the world and he found a man by the name of Noah who was righteous or blameless in the sight of God. It doesn't mean that he was perfect, but it means that he put God first in his life and his family's life. And God chose Noah to save this world by building an ark. And that ark that saved this world and the animals that were on it, we read about that later on in the New Testament when Jesus talks about it, and we read that this is a blessing that we all receive because God has saved us and God has given us a second chance, really, as humanity. And so he had every right to just completely wipe us all out, but he didn't do that. Instead, he started again, and we call that, as Larissa said with the painting, rebirth. And I think that's an excellent title for that particular painting. God sent the flood because the earth was filled with violence, and he needed to cleanse the world. And I want us to take a look at what it may have been like. Again, there's some creative license here with our superbook, but what would it have been like to have been there and seen this flood come? And the waters, the Bible says, didn't just fall from the sky. How many days, by the way, kids, do you remember from the account, how many days did it rain? 40 days and 40 nights, that's right. 40 days and 40 nights it rained. But it wasn't just the rain that caused all the water to come. The Bible says that the fountains of the deep were opened up. In other words, the earth cracked open and water came out from underneath as well. And it changed the world as we knew it. And Noah woke up to a very different world. Let's take another look at a superbook account of what that may have been like as well.
What is that? Everyone, make sure the animals are secure.
Get go! Securing animals, right?
Now it begins.
It's not just a story that's for kids, and so you can decorate the nursery with little giraffes. We actually did that with our nursery, with our little ones. How many of you decorated Noah's Ark in your nursery? Anybody do that? Yeah, so a few of you did that. And we had fun stenciling it, but you know, at the end of the day, it was because of the wickedness of people. But if you look across the world today, all you have to do is turn on the news. I'll be honest with you, I don't really turn on the news hardly anymore because I just don't want to see what's going on. Do we live in a violent, wicked world? I mean, that's just like, obviously we do. There's so much violence and hatred that's going on across the world, and people that are fighting each other, and we see just wars across the planet, and God sees all that stuff, and he's not happy about it. God has given us an opportunity to create a great world, but because of sin, we keep turning it into a place that is an ugly place at times. And the beauty of what God promises is that God says to us, yes, I know that you're a sinful people, but I'm not going to judge the world like that again. Now, one day God will judge the world after he comes back, and we as Christians believe that Jesus Christ will return and make everything right and set everything right, and that's in the final book of the Bible called Revelation, which is awesome. But we also know that this world that we live in desperately needs to be cleansed as well. And every time I see a storm, every time I see the thunderclouds, and I don't know if you're like me, but I love thunderstorms. Do you like thunderstorms? Some of you are scared, hate them. I love them. I like to sit on the leeward side of the house, that's the side that isn't getting the rain, and just watch it come down, just come down, and even sometimes you get to see hail. I mean, it's pretty amazing to see that. Sabrina and I were driving out to one of your soccer games this year, and we got all the way to Steinbeck, and then we had to turn around and come back because they saw a funnel cloud. And she was videotaping it because I was driving. You know, I'm like, this is cool. Like, look at the funnel cloud. I could put this on YouTube, right? It didn't touch down, though. But, you know, I just love storms. But after the storm's over, it's often when it's most beautiful, right? And, you know, the entire account in the Bible of Noah and all of the things that happened there, do you know what the central part of the entire story is? It's actually found right in the middle. And it's one little verse. It's in Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. It says this, but God remembered Noah, and all the wild animals and livestock were with him on the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. This is it. God remembered Noah. Why? Because Noah trusted in him. Noah did what God told him to do. Was it hard? Do you know the Bible tells us that people lived longer in those days? It took them 120 years to build that thing. It was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. It's the size of an ocean cruiser, basic, or cruise liner, or whatever they are. It's massive. It would have taken a long time. Do you think in that world of violence and wickedness and evil that anybody made fun of Noah? You think they ever gave him a hard time? Do you think it cost him anything to build that? Cost him an awful lot, probably cost him everything that he owned. And yet, in the middle of all of this, we read that as the flood came through and washed the world clean, and God judged the sin and the wickedness in the world, it says God remembered Noah, and he looked down and he saved him, his family, and all the animals. And in the same way, God remembers you and I when we trust in him. And after the storm is over, and after the rains have gone and everything looks clean, and you know the smell after a thunderstorm? It just smells good, right? It's like, especially if it's been hot and humid and it just washes all that away. I want to show you this video I took from my house just last year after a big thunderstorm. If you can cue up this video, it doesn't maybe show super well, but it was awesome. So give it a little click. I know. You gotta go to the previous slide, and there's a little play button on the bottom of that video. And if it doesn't work, that's okay. But there was this big, huge rainbow. If you watch my video, keep giving it a try. And it went all the way around. I panned it all the way around. It was actually a double rainbow. A double rainbow is even better than one rainbow, right? And this beautiful rainbow, super bright, was right up there in the sky. And it just sent me that message that's found in Genesis chapter 9. You can go to the next slide. And this is the words that God used. It says this, I have placed a rainbow in the clouds. And when I see that, I'm reminded exactly of this verse. It is a sign of my promise or covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send the clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures, and never again will the floodwaters destroy all life. And when I look at that, I see the promise of God, and that he, it's like God is remembering just me, Glenn. And I look at that rainbow, and I just thank God. Now, I want to just quickly go through what comes to mind for me when I see a rainbow. And there are seven colors to the rainbow, right? How many of you memorize the colors of the rainbow as Roy G. Biv? Anybody? Roy G. Biv? No? Come on. Old people like me. Yeah, right. You remember that, right? When you were in school, right? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, right? Those seven colors. Let's take a look at the rainbow, this next one here. The colors, I believe, are like the colors of God's love. In other words, God is light, the Bible says. In him is no darkness at all. And when you put all those wavelengths together, they're like this light here. They shine white, right? Bright. You look into it and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You're really bright. Now I can't see properly. I got spots in my eyes. God is like that. He is just this blazing light. He is pure. He is clean. He is holy. He is awesome. But when you break that light down, you see all these wavelengths and colors. As a matter of fact, the rainbow isn't just seven colors. It's really almost an infinite number of colors. But we get to identify about seven of them. I want to take a look at just the first one, the red. Red reminds me of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he died for my sin. Red is the shed blood of Jesus. Why did he die for me? The Bible says that he loved me. The wages of sin, the result of sin is death. How many of you are going to die physically? We're all going to die. We don't like to talk about it, but we know it's going to happen. But that evidence of our death and the sin that is in the world is because of, death is in the world because of sin. Jesus Christ said, I have come to die for you. That's why he died on the cross, in our place, so that we might be able to have new life in him. And when you have faith in him, the Bible says that he will one day come, he'll resurrect those that are his children. As many as received him, to these he gave the right to be called children of God, to those who believed on his name. And if you've believed on the name of Jesus Christ and trusted in him for your salvation, the Bible says now you're a part of his family. And his shed blood now works for you so that you don't have to face the eternal penalty of sin, but you get hope of eternal life. Isn't that awesome? Now, the next one is orange. And we're sometimes uncomfortable with this aspect of God's character. It's the fire of God's judgment. But let me just ask you a question. How many of you like being treated unfairly? How many of you like it if you're being treated just, what if you think that your mom and dad played favorites? Anybody ever felt that mom and dad played favorites with one of your siblings? Yeah, if you're honest, you probably do. How many of you feel the teacher plays favorites at school, right? Sometimes you do. Or your friends play favorites. Does that bug you when people play favorites? And you aren't the favorite? Sure, it bugs you. We don't like it when things aren't fair. But in a much bigger way, God doesn't like it when things aren't fair, when people treat each other horribly, and when there's violence in the world. God doesn't say forever, I'm just going to say, whatever, no big deal. What kind of God would he be? So the Bible says that he is the judge. And his wrath came down on that earth, deservedly so. And orange reminds me of that fire of his judgment. And when God purifies. Think about what it does. What does fire do? It purifies, right? What if there's some valuable thing that's in the midst of it? What if you have a bunch of wood, hay, and straw, but in the midst of it you got a diamond? If you throw that in the fire, when the fire's finished, what's going to be left? Just ashes and a beautiful, crystal clear diamond. And that's what God wants us to be like. We're going to end this this evening talking about stars. And just in the same way, those stars that shine, so we should shine for him. Let's take a look at the next one. Yellow, that is the brightness of God's holiness. That means God is different than us. Can you approach the sun? If you could get a spaceship, could you get near the sun? We'll have to draw the sun as yellow up in the sky, right? How many of you think you could get a spaceship and go right into the middle of the sun and sit down on it? Like, oh yeah, that'd be nice. Oh, you think it'd be a little hot? Right? Do you know what they say that the core of the sun is? You know how hot it is? Apparently it's like 25 million degrees Celsius. That's so hot that if you just had a little piece of it the size of a pea, if you lived in Minneapolis, it would kill you. I mean, that's how powerful the sun is. And God is like that. He is so powerful in his presence that we can't get near him. So we need help, right? And so that tells us that we need someone to come for us in our place. That's why Jesus is so important, because Jesus is the Son of God. He came, he's one with God, because he's God in human flesh. That's why we have to have faith and trust in him. And when we have faith and trust in him, green reminds me of the fact that we get to grow in him. That's awesome, the care of our Creator. Does God care about you? Does God care about me? When I'm looking up at that rainbow and I think, God's just smiling on me right now. Am I just being like, am I being fooled, or is that actually real? The Bible says God knows how many hairs are on your head. Do you know that? You know how many hairs are on your head? Do you know how many hairs are on your head? No, you want to guess? No? I looked at my dog, I wondered how many hairs were on his head. I Googled it and they said probably about 20 million, but I wasn't going to check. Right? I mean, especially this time of year when he sheds all his hair. It's crazy. But God knows how many hairs are on my head. God cares about me. God cares about you. He knows everything about you, and he wants you to grow in him. The next one is blue. And this reminds me of a phrase. How many of you heard the phrase true blue? True blue. That means faithful, right? Like, you can count on me. I'm dependable. I'm reliable. And here's the thing. God never breaks a promise. Ever. There's not a single promise that God has made that he hasn't kept, or a promise that he's made in the future that he won't keep. And I know that God's promise is that if I'm with him, if I know him, that I will one day be with him forever. That's called eternal life. That's awesome, because that gives me the strength and the ability to go through tough times, and I know that God will make everything right. There's some things that happen in life that aren't fair. There's some things that happen in life that are painful, but I know one day the Bible tells me that everything will be made right. If I'm with the Lord, I can experience that. Let's take a look at the next one, indigo. Indigo is kind of that in-between color between blue and purple or violet, and it kind of reminds me of twilight. You know, in twilight at night, it's just like everything's quiet, and it's just slow down. It reminds me of the patience of God. Did God judge the earth right away as soon as it got bad? No. Bible says he waited and waited, and finally it got so bad he had to do something about it. In the same way, God, even now, some people say, well, how come all this bad stuff's happening? And God said, because I still want you people to access salvation through my son Jesus. That's what I'm waiting for. But one day it will end. But God is so patient. And maybe you're at the point in your life you're like, I don't know about this, Glenn. I'm not really sure. Can I ask some questions? Absolutely. Absolutely. God wants us to ask questions and seek answers. And finally, the last one is violet. Violet or purple reminds me of a king. The color of royalty. And royalty, who's in charge? Who's in charge? Are you in charge? Am I in charge of the universe? Can you make anything grow on your own? No, we can't, right? Who's in charge of the universe? How big is God? We talk about this undeniable power. How big is God? First week we looked at this, we talked about how massive God is. God is so big. He's beyond our ability to comprehend. And God is in control. And you know what that tells me? No matter how bad things are in my life or difficult in this world, I can count on God. I can count on him. He's in charge. He never, ever is surprised by anything. And I can trust him with my life. Something bad going on in your life? Parents. Bad things happen to us, right? Stuff happens. I could tell you stories of my life of really hard things that have hit me, my wife, and our family at times. But you know what? I have faith that God's in control. And it gives me the strength to move through, not just to muddle through life, but to thrive. As we're closing here, I just wanted to tell you, I wanted to show you this last couple of slides. The next one is the rainbow. Whenever I see a rainbow after a storm, it reminds me that it's a promise that God will never destroy the earth in a flood again. That God will never do that. God could, but God won't. And I know I never have to worry about the rains never stopping. And I can imagine that sometimes we forget that God is a God that's faithful to his promises. And we need to be thankful to the Lord. And that's what this painting also reminds me of. And let's just close with this. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 15, it says this. We are looking forward to, what am I looking forward to? Retirement. No, I'm just kidding. I'm way too young for that, right? We're not looking forward just to retirement. I'm looking forward to my holiday this summer. How many of you are looking forward to holidays, to be honest? How many of you have already gone on your holidays and you're like, dang, it's over, right? How many of you have got holidays coming up? How many of you have holidays coming up? Raise your hand. Are you looking forward to holidays? Yeah, woo! And then they're over, and then it's school, and then you're back to work, and it's all, right? I mean, those things are temporary, but it says we're looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. So for all the bad things that are happening, God hasn't forgotten. God is just waiting for more people to get saved. So when he cleanses the earth again and makes a new heaven and new earth, that you and I can be a part of it. Isn't that awesome? So the Bible says all we have to do is to receive him in faith. Maybe you've never heard that before. Maybe that's the first time it's been clear to you. I want to encourage you to open your heart to Jesus. If you want to talk more about it, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about it. Or maybe you grab somebody here at Centerpoint, friend that you know, they'll tell you all about it too. We're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to talk about if you can hold the stars in place, then you can hold my heart the same, right? And how many of you guys like the song Stars? I love that song. It's awesome. So it talks about our trust and faith in God. So let's do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the heavens that you've created, the earth that you've created. But we thank you most of all that you've created us to have a relationship with you. Maybe this evening someone's looked at this and said, I've never really heard it that way before. I've never really opened my heart to Jesus and accepted him. But I want to. I want to know what it's like to have peace and to be part of something bigger than just this world. And I want to be able to connect with the God of the universe. And the fact that he knows my name and he holds my heart, I just give my heart to you tonight. And even as your children, sometimes we can forget, we can get confused. And God, I just want to pray that we would just put our hard things, the things that we're struggling with, that we'll put them in your hand. Thank you for your faithful promise. Thank you that you will never flood the earth again. Thank you that you will come one day to set everything right. And God, we just commit our lives to you. And thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place, that he rose from the dead, that he's alive today, and that he sees us and knows us, and that we want to be called by your name. And we ask us in his precious name. Amen.